Timothy was a living proof that, as the old Spanish proverb says, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. His mother was something else. We can lay the gifts and the talents and the experience of Timothy that we have here in the Scriptures and the books that we have about him. We can lay them the responsibility primarily, even though Paul certainly plays a big role, primarily at the foot of his mother, Eunice. And we're going to be seeing what she did and how she took the things that she did and the things that she carried out in her son's life. And we're going to be taking these principles and applying them to our lives as moms, as dads, as parents, as grandparents, and seeing how we can take the same principles. Like I said, times have changed, people haven't changed. What worked for her, what worked for Timothy, still works. We'll be taking these things that work and we're applying them to our lives this morning. But before we do that, let's be introduced to her. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you would look with me, let's just begin up there in verse 1. Paul introduces himself to Timothy, but he rounds it out by speaking of this mom. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, that is, son in the faith. He was a spiritual father, not literally a father to him. Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, he says, even as I recall your tears so that I may be filled with joy. For I, and here's the verse, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and notice, in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. That's the mom we're going to be looking at this morning. We'll be looking at what this text and other places in Timothy tell us about this mother Eunice, and we're going to be seeing what we can do to apply these same things to our lives and make a difference, as I said, as moms and dads and grandparents. I'm going to be giving you four things this morning, four things that Eunice did to turn Timothy in an ungodly time into a godly man. Four things, like I said, that worked then and they work now. The number one thing that she did, and no doubt the most important thing that she did, because basically nothing else matters. If she couldn't do this one, the rest of them wouldn't have counted, or she wouldn't have been able to do them. The number one thing that she did was that she was a woman of faith. Eunice was a woman of faith. How do we know that? Well, it says it right there in verse 5. It says she had a sincere faith, because that's the same faith that we found in Timothy. But we know it for another reason. Eunice was a woman of sincere faith because of, well, get this, because of Timothy's name. Do you know what Timothy means? The name Timothy means one who honors God. That's what his name means. Now, who do you suppose named him that? Think his pagan dad named him that? No. I doubt it. His mom named him that. And it's a statement, if you will. We're getting a view here just with a simple name. We're getting a view into the faith of this woman. She takes this son with a husband who's not even a believer in Christ, in a pagan society, totally backwards, worse maybe possibly than, as bad as our society is, maybe possibly worse than the society that we even have today. And she says, no, this one's going to be faithful to God. This one's going to live a life honoring to God. And as, if you will, there's not much difference between faith and cockiness. She was so cocky that she said, I'm naming him that way. I'm going to call it like I believe it's going to be. You know, that's what faith is. Faith is naming it like you see it. Not naming it the way you want it, but naming it the way God says it. Does God want your son or your daughter to be godly? You bet he does. So believe him for it. Believe him for it. Trust him for it. She was a woman of faith. She was a believer. Are you a believer? I mean, I don't mean that she was just a believer. I mean, of course she believed in Jesus Christ, God's Son, his personal Savior. I hope that's who you are. I mean, she was a believer. I mean, not just a, I mean, if you will, we believe in Christ as personal Savior to gain a home in heaven, and I'm all about that. But there's more to Jesus than that. There's a lot of people who trust Christ for heaven, but they don't trust Christ for much of anything else in their lives. That's crazy. He can provide heaven for you. He can make you right with a God who you offended with your sin. He can work in your life today. God is not just a God of the future. He's a God of today, right now. And she believed in being a God that way. She was a true believer. And that, and what I mean by that, she believed that God could use her, despite the odds, despite what she was up against, to shape of this life, of the life of this young man, Timothy, to be the man that God wanted him to be. She believed that. She named him that way. And she worked on it from the very beginning. I mean, certainly his life turned out to be that way, but who worked on him all the way through? It wasn't the pagan dad. It was that mom. It was the mom. It can be done. It can be done, mom. It can be done, dad, grandparents. It can be done. The God who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Believe it. She believed it. And it came out exactly the way she believed, because God was with her in the midst of it. God was in the middle of all of it. Faith, listen, if we have faith, faith is demonstrated two ways. Demonstrated by action. She hammered on that boy, I guarantee you, from the day he was born, of who he was going to be and how he was going to turn out and how he's going to live his life for God. She did not let up on him. I guarantee it. I don't know her personally. We don't have a lot of stuff about her here. And then the second thing, not only do you have to have action, but you got to have attitude. Is it not an attitude to name your boy one who will honor God, especially in the face of what she was up against? That's an attitude. Listen, faith is an attitude. It's an attitude that says, no, it's going to go this way because God says it's going to go this way. I don't design what my future is going to be, but I believe what God says my future is going to be. That's faith. That's faith. Eunice had faith. Faith sees the future, and that is exactly what Eunice saw when she named him Timothy. First of all, guys, we have to be people of faith. Got to be people of faith. Not just a believer for the future, but a believer for today. God working in and through our lives today. Number two, the second thing that she did that we can apply also to our circumstances, she instilled in her child a respect for the Scriptures. Turn with me to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. One page over for me. I don't know how far over for you. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Look down with me at verse 14. Now, Paul isn't continuing. This is a letter Paul written to Timothy, and basically it's his last letter, that at least that we have a record of, that any of the letters that Paul wrote. And he writes this letter to Timothy, and he's addressing him directly, but he reminds us of the things, and I want you to pay attention to what he says here. You, he says to Timothy, verse 14, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. I don't know about you, but I've read that verse before, and I've always thought he's talking about himself. And I mean, couldn't he be? I mean, he could be. Remember what you've learned, and remember from who you learned it. He could be speaking of himself, but he's not. How do we know that? Because of the next verse. Look at what it says. And from childhood, I mean, not to take anything away from Paul, but that's not who he's speaking about here. That from childhood you have known the sacred writings, that is the Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul doesn't meet Timothy, guys, until Timothy is a grown man. Who is he talking about here? Remember what you have learned and from whom you learned it. Eunice. He's already talked about her. She was hammering away at the boy, I'm telling you, from the time he was little bitty. She was instilling in him an understanding and a confidence and a respect of the Scriptures. Parents, that is your responsibility. That is our responsibility, to instill in these kids. No, that's why I take them to church. No. Take them to church. I mean, I hope we treat them good here, but I'm telling you, if they're not getting it at home, they're not going to get it. Timothy didn't get it in church. He didn't have a church. All right? He had his mother, and it was enough. It was more than enough. And that's where he got it. And that's where it stuck. I mean, why do you think when Paul comes through town in his itinerant ministry, immediately Timothy takes up with him in the ministry? Who got him ready? What seminary did he go to? He went to the Eunice Seminary, guys. He went to the seminary called Mom, who taught him and trained him and instructed him and led him in the respect of the Scriptures. And, like I said, it was enough. It was enough. You want to know, for me, you know what I learned about 90% of what I know about the Bible? You want to know? My mom and dad. Not seminary. I got a master's degree in theology. I'm working on a doctorate degree. Prayerfully be done before the summer's over. I'm not slighting that stuff. I've enjoyed my education. I'm pursue education because I believe I need to be the best education person I could possibly be. A lot of responsibility. Stand up and open the Word of God. And people listen to what you've got to say. I want to make sure I know what I'm talking about. But I will tell you, 90% of what I learned from my mother and dad. They did what Eunice did. They taught me. They would have my brother and I come in the bedroom, rain or shine, and we would sit down, and they would read and teach the scriptures to us every night, never fail. If we were sick, you know what? They came into our room. They wouldn't make us get up because they were all nice, but got the Bible. They were taught us the Bible. That's where Timothy learned it. That's where I learned it. That's where your kids are going to learn it or not. It's going to be tough for them. If you don't teach it to them, it's going to be tough. I'm telling you, you put a whole bunch of burden on the church, what the church was never intended to carry out is to train your kids. It's not the purpose of the church. We are a supplement to your training. You are supposed to be the mainstay, mom, dad. You are. Mother, listen to me. I'll just speak plainly as I possibly can. Moms, dads, parents, grandparents, teach your children from the scriptures. Teach them the stories. Teach them the doctrines. They should hear first about Jesus from you. From you. First place I ever heard about Jesus, from my mom and dad. No surprise whatsoever when I heard it in church, because I'd already heard it from my parents many times. They should be hearing about Jesus from you. She instilled, Eunice did, a respect for the scriptures. Didn't have a church to go to. Didn't have any of that kind of stuff. Paul was the first bright light that showed up in that town. He had his mother all that time who trained him and taught him. She instilled him a respect for the scriptures. Number three, she instilled in young Timothy an authentic faith. Notice what it said back there in verse 5 of chapter 1. For I am mindful of the sincere faith which is within you, he says to Timothy, which was first, among other things, in your mother Eunice. She instilled in him, she had a sincere faith. She was able to pass on that sincere faith to her son. There were four scholars who were debating, Bible scholars, over their favorite translation of the scriptures. One piped up and said, I prefer the King James Version. I prefer it for its poetic language. I prefer it for its literalness. And I just prefer the King James. Another guy, sort of like me, he says, I prefer the New American Standard for its closeness to the original text and just the readability of it. And another guy said he preferred the NIV just for the simple readability of it. The fourth guy sat there for a minute scratching his chin. He says, you know what? Giving it some thought, and I do believe that my favorite translation of the scriptures is my mother's. They were like, what? All these guys sitting around with doctorate degrees, you know, can read the Greek and the Hebrew fluently and all this kind of stuff. He said, your mother could read Greek? I mean, how does she understand Greek to make a translation? Your mother didn't know Hebrew or Aramaic. How does your mother make a translation of the Bible? He says, listen, she took every page of the Bible and she translated it into real life. He said, that's the best translation I've ever read. That's the best translation, parents, that your kids are going to ever read is the one that's being currently translated through your life. So how's it going on your translation? How's it going? That's the one, especially if they're young, that's the only one they're reading. They're watching you. They're seeing you. Whether what you say you actually believe, and it's working out in your life. And I know you're not perfect. Goodness knows we're not. But your kids will know when there is genuineness there. And that genuineness is the only way they're going to get genuine themselves is to inherit it. Make sure you're genuine yourself. Where is your life translating the Bible? Let me show you a verse that is, I think, for me as a dad and a church leader also, is a very, very heavy verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. This is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. And he says a mouthful here. Notice what he says. The things that you have learned, he's spiritual father to this church. He started this church. The people that are saved and baptized in this church, he was the one that preached to them. He was the one that baptized them. The things, he says, that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. I'm of a firm conviction that every parent should be able to say that to their kids. You should be able to say that, and if you can't say that, you need to do something. And I mean right now. You need to change directions in your life. Because I'm telling you, wherever you're going, your kid is following you. You want your kid to have a sincere faith, but you do not have a sincere faith? Hello? Why should that work? Why should he follow you except in the direction that you're going? Why should she not be who you already are? You want them to have a sincere faith. You should be able to say this to them with confidence. And again, you're not perfect. I know that. God knows that. But we ought to be living a life that we could say that with all honesty to our kids. We could say that. Turn out like me. If you can't say that, do something about it, okay? Do something about it. You're it for these kids. You're it. It's not like they have 8 or 10 parents to choose from. You're it. So as it, make sure you've got something to show and a direction to lead. No one knows better than your child whether your faith is genuine. I guarantee it. No one sniffs out better hypocrisy than your kid and you. And that's scary and sobering, but that's just the way it is. One Sunday morning after dedicating their infant boy in the church service up in front of the church, this young couple was driving home, and they have a little six-year-old girl and the little infant boy, and he was in the car seat, and the little girl was in her seat belt, and they were driving home, and everything was good after church, and all of a sudden the little girl just breaks out in hysterical crying. I mean, just wailing and moaning and sobbing, and they thought she was in pain. They thought something had happened to her. They couldn't figure out what the deal was. What's the matter with this little girl? And they're just talking to her and she's blurting something out about something that happened during the baby dedication. They were just racking their brains. What could have happened during the baby dedication? Now, I was up there. You were up there. She was up there. The pastor was up there. Nothing bad happened during the baby dedication. They couldn't figure out what she wanted. So they finally got her home. They got her set down, got her a glass of water, got her calmed down a little bit, and she finally blurted out what the issue was. Something about the baby dedication. He said, you know, we were up there and the pastor was dedicating little brother and all this, and then he said that he wanted us to be raised in a Christian home. And they said, yeah? What's wrong with that? He said, well, I wanted to live with you guys. Wow. I said, nobody knows better than your kids, huh? Nobody knows better. Again, let me just speak in plain English, moms and dads and grandparents. If you want your child to be serious about his faith, make sure that you are. You shouldn't expect them to be serious about something that you're not. If you want them to be serious about the Bible, make sure that you are. Serious about dedication, about church attendance and serving in the church, make sure that you are. Not that there's not exceptions to this, but most of the time the kids are not going to do any better than you. Make sure that you are an example that they can follow. Again, if you say, don't do what I do, do what I say. Right? I mean, that's a crazy notion. They're going to do what you do. They're going to do what you do. I saw it myself. Why am I a dedicated church person? I saw it. I watched it. I saw it. That's the reason why, like I said, 90% of the stuff I believe and the stuff that I do, I learned at home. I got it from my parents. They need to see it in your life. So she was a woman of faith. She instilled a respect for the Scriptures. She instilled an authentic faith in their son. And then finally, number four, she instilled in young Timothy a desire for ministry. She instilled him a desire for ministry. How do we know that? Because as soon as Paul hits town, Timothy goes off with him. He was ready. He was waiting for something. She'd been teaching him something. She had been teaching him an authentic faith and a sincere understanding and respect for the Scriptures. And that always leads in one direction, by the way, in case you don't know. It always leads to ministry. You really teach someone the Scriptures and really teach someone about a sincere faith in God, and it always will turn them to the world. They will always say, but what about them? I say, uh-huh, son. Uh-huh, daughter. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. This information isn't just for you. The God who rescued and redeemed you is a God who's now sending you out there. And when Timothy had the first opportunity, he hit the road. Guys, we've got to come with an outward focus. We teach our kids the Scriptures. We teach them a sincere faith. We try our best to live a life of sincere faith in front of them. And then we need to be pointing them out there. Listen, this is not just for you. This isn't just something to keep. This is a responsibility. It's a trust that's been given to you. I've been giving it to me. I'm passing it on to you. You give it away to someone else. It's a trust. It's a responsibility. It's an outward focus. Timothy was ready for it because his mom had taught him those things. She had taught him those things, but she's not unique. It is the responsibility of every mom, every dad, every parent, every grandparent to instill in this principle of, listen, it's not about you. It's about what God does through you in your world. And if you don't get this, and this is what we need to tell them, if you don't get it, you're going to have a miserable life. It's all about you. Well, you're going to get sick of you real quick. We already are. You better learn to focus out. There was a lady in the Old Testament. This we have Eunice here in the New Testament. There was a lady in the Old Testament by the name of Hannah. She was a lady with a similar circumstance, similar in some ways, in that she had been given a son who was a gift. And that son she understood as a gift, and that gift belonged to God. And when the time came, she gave him back to God. And if you recall, that dedication that she made when she turned little Samuel back over to the service of God, I want us to read just very slow, quickly here, the thing that she says as she dedicates this child to God. 1 Samuel chapter 1. For this boy, she said, I prayed. Have you ever prayed for your kids? And the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him, so I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. Now, of course, her circumstances were unique. She was not able to have a child for a very long time. She prayed. Of course, if you know the story, she comes up pregnant. She knows that this child belongs to God. Of course, Samuel turns out to be a mighty man in every way, a mighty leader in Israel, an incredible prophet and judge in Israel. But her situation is unique, and then again, it isn't. Listen to me, mom and dads and grandparents. Your kids are no different than hers. She got this kid for 3 years, and then she turned him back over to God. That is a unique situation. That's a special circumstance. But I'm telling you, every one of us are giving our kids back over to God. Every last one of you are. Every parent here and every grandparent knows these kids are not yours. I hope you know that. They belong to God. They've been entrusted to you. You are his steward of his property. You know what his property is? Your kids. They are his assets. You're responsible to take his asset and train him and teach him and instruct him and lead him so that when the time comes that God, he's ready to be going off with God, that's exactly what he'll do, just like Timothy did. Just like Samuel was, although very early. Going off and serving God with a focus. Guys, if we don't have a focus, if you think these kids are just for me, no, they're not for you. Just wait a little while. You don't want them staying home, do you, really? They're not for you. They're for the world. They're for you to train for the service of God for the world. And that's your responsibility. Timothy had a mom who understood that. He had a mom who understood the importance of Scripture, the importance of sincere faith. He had a mom who was so cocky that she named him one who will honor God in a day when no one did. And she was right. She was right. He turned out to be an incredible man who made a difference in his lifetime. We have her name in one place in the Scriptures and only once. But we can lay so much of who this guy is, this young man Timothy, so much of the ministry of Paul. And he so trusted this young man because this man had been trained, well trained, by a dedicated mom. Will you be that today, mom, dad, grandparent? Will you be that? Will you be that for your child? God is looking to you. That's his asset. It's his asset, and he wanting to use this child, but he's entrusting you with the responsibility. Will you live up to that responsibility? I hope that you will. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the responsibility, the assets that you've entrusted to us in our kids. Lord, they're so precious. They're so gifted. They're so beautiful and so have so much in front of them, so many opportunities. And Lord God, I pray that you would keep us from messing them up. Lord God, keep us from having a wrong focus. The enemy is keeping us focused on so many things except for the right things. Help us to remember that these are our responsibility. You've entrusted them to us to train them, to teach them, to live before them, to show them a sincere faith, to instruct them and lead them in a respect of the Scriptures, to to have faith ourselves, a cocky faith that believes they're going to be who you want them to be. Lord, I pray that we would see ourselves as partners with you as we train these kids. Give us courage, God. We need courage. This woman we read about, what incredible courage she had. What a hero she is to face such incredible odds and yet come out victorious. Lord God, that's what we all are. If we'll step out in faith, if we'll trust you, trust your word, trust the work of your Holy Spirit, trust the spirit that's in them that you've given to them, then they will turn out, God, exactly who you want them to be. Thank you, God, for that entrustment. Help us to be faithful. Forgive us where we haven't been. God, if we've got to change, help us to do it right now. Help us, give us courage, God, to change right now, we pray. Thank you, God, for hearing us. Thank you, God, for speaking to us this morning. Thank you for our moms. Thank you for faithful moms like mine who are so faithful to serve you, to live a life faithfully, and to train so with such dedication in the lives of her sons. Lord, thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I ask you, please, stand with me this morning. Are you a believer? Are you a believer in God's Son, Jesus Christ? The Bible says that's the only way you get to go to heaven. If I'm a good person, I'm a church person. Well, I hope so. I hope you are, but that's not good enough. The Bible says you must trust God's Son, Jesus, as personal Savior. The only way you have to heaven. I did not write this book. I did not design heaven. It's not my heaven. It's not my eternal life. It's God's. So when he said this is the way it is, then that's the way it is. You must have a personal faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And then if you are a believer, are you a believer? I mean, do you really believe him from the day in, day out stuff? The everyday thing that God is always with you and that he's called you to be faithful? Do you believe him? It'll show up in your actions and your attitude. I'll be standing here. I'd love to pray with you. We're going to sing together in just a moment. God is touching your life. You have something you need to talk about, deal with. The altar's open for prayer. You come as we sing together.